It's time for Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400. Laker Hockey Talk is brought to you by H&R Block and Parker Ace Hardware. And now with Laker Hockey Talk, here's the voice of the Lakers, Bill Crawford, on ESPN 1400.
Well, good Thursday morning, everybody. Bill Crawford, Damon Whitten, another edition of Laker Hockey Talk here on ESPN 1400. And Damon, big weekend coming up. For one thing, it's the last home series of the season, so the fans who want to see the Lakers play got to get out on Friday night. And it's a big weekend for some other reasons, too. We've got the check cash slash cancer fight going on this weekend, and we also have senior night coming up on Saturday night. So it's kind of a weekend with almost too much going on. There's a hockey game in there, too, a really big series with Bowling Green State.
Lots going on, a good hockey team coming up. It'll be great action on the ice. Hard to believe it's the last weekend of the regular season at home. Obviously, a really strange schedule this year where the last 4 weeks, we've got a bye week mixed in there, but 3 weeks on the road. So, don't love that part of it, but here we are, and it is what it is. So we're looking forward to being back home at Taffy Able and playing in front of our home crowd and, getting a couple big wins here. Obviously, that's been a challenge for us, and we got a good team coming in. So we're looking forward to great hockey. As you mentioned, Saturday night, about 6:40, we will honor our seniors, our outgoing seniors, JT Hankey, Ryan Renz, Kyle Chatham, and Aiden Wright, four guys that have put a lot in this program and do things so well on and off the ice to represent Laker hockey in a very positive manner. So we definitely want to get a great crowd out to thank them and send them off into their different paths moving forward. And, as you mentioned, the other big event is Check slash Survive Cancer, the former Pink in the Rink event that's transitioned here a little bit this year. Always a huge event for our community and a great fundraiser that supports so many different organizations and things in our community, from Women's Health Initiatives is the forefront of that, but a lot of different people rely on funding from Pink in the Rink and from now Check slash Survive to support so many different important causes in our community. So it's going to be a great weekend at Taffy Able, and looking forward to seeing everybody out there.
You look at the schedule too. We don't play at home the whole month of February. You wonder how that happens. The league makes up the schedule, so it all comes out of the headquarters for the WCHA. I was looking the other day and saw where Huntsville plays the whole month of February at home. How does this happen?
Well, it's like you said, the league, it goes into a big program, and it spits out the model for the season. Essentially, you get two requests throughout the course of the year, and so say we've got a series lined up with Michigan State, and it's in not those normal two or three opening weekends that are kind of open weekends. When WCHA plays, you get two requests to make, and we usually accommodate the I-500 weekend and head out of town. Again, we might have a series, we might just deer opener, maybe get out of town. So we use our two requests, and the schedule spits out, and then each head coach votes yay or nay on it. And obviously we voted no on this one, but enough guys voted. When you talk to coaches individually, they look at Lake State and our situation this year and say, hey, that's not right, that can't happen. But obviously they're more focused on their individual programs and voted yes for their own schools. So real unfortunate for us the way it plays out, but again, it is what it is. We've got to be good this weekend and then go be Road Warriors.
Yeah, when you're talking about something like that, are you in a coaches meeting where all the coaches are together? Can you make a point? Hey, we're getting hosed here. We can't play the whole month of February away. Do you get to make that point?
You do, yeah. And that's part of our annual meetings that happen for the WCHA and the NCAA down in Naples, Florida, oddly enough. We're smarter than we look as a bunch of coaches to get down to Florida the end of April. But we have our league meetings and we sit around. We talk scheduling, reffing, league issues, national issues. All those things are brought up. And, part of that too, during that time, we might grab, say, a coach from whatever team and say, hey, can we flip this series? We play early on, but we're on the road. And so sometimes you're able to kind of stick handle around your own situations. And, we're going to look at some things. The league's working on the 19-20 schedule, and that's a year we're finally eligible to go up to Alaska and stay back-to-back. So I'm going to try to work with the Alaska coaches to see if we can play Saturday, Sunday on the front end, Thursday, Friday on the back end to shorten that trip. And then we'd have to have some accommodations when they come down to us. loss, we might have to be willing to do the same thing. So you might see a Saturday-Sunday series or a Thursday-Friday on the front end of their trip to try to help them shorten up a trip as well. But, you know, you try to work together and help out, but again, the votes didn't come in our favor. Obviously, Huntsville is going to vote yes. If you're home the whole month of February, you love that going into playoffs. You're rested. You got a chance to make up some ground. And so unfortunately, the vote came out against us for the 17-18 schedule.
Well, the Lakers this year, you're 7 points out of a playoff spot right now. You got 8 games remaining. Obviously, we got to win some games. We got to start here Friday night with Bowling Green. As well as we played at Northern Michigan last weekend, I think we can beat Bowling Green.
Yeah, I think we can beat anybody. I mean, we haven't done it enough, obviously. We're not that far away. We're not where we want to be. There's no question about it. I mean, it's not hard to look at records and where we're at and in some categories and say we're not good enough. We're not where we want to be, so we're not trying to hide that. But we're also not that far away. You know, it's come down to a couple small areas at times, whether it's getting that timely save, getting the power play. I know earlier on it seemed like we were talking about having all facets of the game on the same page. We'd have a great power play the first few weeks and our penalty killing would be off. Or we'd get offense, we wouldn't get goaltending. We'd get goaltending, we wouldn't get offense. And it really hasn't been that way. We've been very good defensively. Maybe power play is the one area. We got the power play goal Friday. Couldn't cash in on Saturday, but we've played good hockey the last few weeks. We haven't won enough hockey games and you know, we've got to have a great effort. To me, it's going to be about great team defense. You know, that's part of that's creating great goaltending. You know, we've got to give up less than 2 goals, I think, for us to be successful right now, and that's not different for many teams. But, you know, for us to score four or five goals to win a game, that it really hasn't been in the cards for us. So great defense of attention to detail, getting great goaltending, and win a hockey game Friday night.
You know, it's kind of an enigma, too. I look back one game in particular this season. The Lakers beat the under-18 6-0. Nobody's beaten that team that badly all year, and you're like, where'd that go? You know, I mean, we played really well that night, scored a lot of goals, got great goaltending, shut out a pretty good young team that has played a lot of college games and a lot of USHL games this year.
Yeah, well, we got early offense. If you remember, I think we got 2-3 early the first period. It really just set the tone for that game. We certainly have played better, like anybody does when you get you know, early goals or you get the lead. So that was it that night. But we certainly were clicking that night. You know, we've gone through some adversity through injuries, the early departures that our roster is much different than we anticipated. You know, sitting back a year ago or even coming into you know, early offseason, you know, I still think the losses of Kybel, Sockleman for 6-8 weeks were really detrimental to our team on the back end. You know, those guys are obviously been playing for a while. They're still not at 100%. You'll see Colin Sockleman a couple times a game favors that injury that he suffered and still recovering. Lucas went through a bad illness where he lost 15, 18 pounds. You know, he's still recovering. We got another defenseman that's only a sophomore playing through an upper body injury. You know, we play 3 freshman D, 2 sophomore D. So, you know, great teams typically are led by their upperclassmen, and they're in key situations. You know, senior goaltenders, junior goaltenders, senior defensemen, upperclassmen. And, you know, we don't have that in some key spots. And that seems like it's been like that every single year. We kind of thought we'd be a little bit better this year with some you know, a big junior class that have played critical minutes. And you lose Mitch Holtz. You know, you lose Hedrick as a junior. So that's been what we've had to play through. It is what it is. It's no excuse to it. We have the team we have, and we've got to find a way to win hockey games.
You got a tough one this weekend, too. Bowling Green's a good team. They're a big team. They're strong. Played very well against them back in November down in Bowling Green. One of those games went to a shootout, as I recall, and Mitch McClain, one of their big players, won that one for them. But we'll do well, I think, this weekend. We'll play hard against them.
Yeah, we've matched up well against them. I think, you know, it's a team that probably doesn't skate quite as well as a Mankato or maybe a Michigan Tech. So the pace of their team, you know, we can handle. And we're improving in that area. We've you know, got better team speed than we got here a couple of years back. So we're taking strides that way. So we match up well that way. You mentioned Mitch McClain. I mean, he had chances to sign an NHL contract last year, came back. I think he's a senior too, right? So he
yes.
comes back as a senior with chances. As we lose our young guys to him, so it's frustrating that way. But he's a good player. They get very good goaltending in Bednard and Dopp, and they kind of rotate there a little bit. But a heavy team, as you mentioned, they're physical. They know who they are. They don't stray from what they are in terms of just being you know, a real grinding, physical, heavy team. They want to play a tight checking, low scoring game, and that's fine. You know, that is a good matchup for us. We just got to find those inches and get that offense to get the win.
All righty. We're going to take a break here on Laker Hockey Talk this morning. Damon and I will be right back. Talk more Laker hockey for this weekend. Bowling Green State in town. Get out and support the Lakers Friday and Saturday night. We'll be right back with more on ESPN 1400.
Everybody knows that H&R Block is the premier tax preparation group in the nation. But did you know that H&R Block offers year-round bookkeeping and business services that will help your small business cut costs, make profits, and streamline the business end of operations? From payroll and bookkeeping to expert tax prep and advice, see the friendly folks at H&R Block on I-75 Business Spur in the Michigan Sioux. Call 635-5970. Put H&R Block to work on your small business. You'll be glad you did. H&R Block wishes the Hockey Lakers success in 2017-18.
Hi, this is Scott from Parker Ace Hardware. At Ace, we make painting a simple pleasure. Ask one of our friendly, knowledgeable Ace associates about our Ace Royal Paint, a high-quality paint at a price you'll love. You'll find Ace Royal Paint starting at an everyday low price of just $19.99 a gallon. It's another reason why, from a simple start to a fabulous finish, Parker Ace can help make your next painting project perfect. Parker Ace, the helpful place. Stop by Parker Ace Hardware. We're looking forward to serving you real soon.
Stop by Parker Ace Hardware at 819 Ashman, downtown Sioux, Michigan.
And now back to Coach Witten and Bill Crawford for more Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400.
Well, welcome back to Laker Hockey Talk. Bill Crawford along with the head coach of the Lakers, Damon Witten. We're talking one of our favorite subjects, Damon's favorite subject, Laker hockey. Big weekend coming up. We've talked about some of the extracurriculars that are going to go on. We've talked a little bit about Bowling Green State coming in. Lakers, it's senior weekend. I would imagine the seniors will all be in the lineup on Saturday night, and that's something you make provision for. We were missing our captain last weekend. He had some personal things going on, didn't make the trip to Marquette, Aiden Wright. But this is a pretty good crew, and let's talk a little bit more about them. Kyle Chatham, JT Henke, Aiden Wright, and Ryan Renz. They've meant a lot to this program, and they are probably the first guys who will tell you that this 4 years has just flown by. But they're going to get out of here with degrees, and they'll play some hockey beyond this, and then they'll go on in life.
Yeah, all, like you said, and I think that's the critical point. They're all on target to graduate. They actually, I think, almost all of them have real light class loads this semester because they've done such a good job, real strong students. You know, JT Henke, obviously, has been an offensive catalyst for this team the last couple years, and including this year, you know, having a great start to the season, you know, a little bit of a dip, but he's playing better hockey once again to finish, and, you know, we're going to need those guys, including JT, to lead us these last few weeks here and get into the playoffs. Kyle Chatham's probably been our most consistent player, maybe all season long. You know, known obviously for his defensive ability and kind of a matchup guy. Had the big game-winning goal last week, though, which was nice to see. But, you know, very solid, very reliable. He often draws the assignment of matching up against the other team's top player. You know, Ryan Renz, our assistant captain, he's a 3.7 pre-med or biomedical science degree. So just you know, a phenomenal human being, a great student athlete. You know, Ryan, we talked in the radio show the other night there, Bill, that guys, really all of these guys, but in particular, you know, Wright and Renz, they're what you embody in a student athlete. You know, you never have to chase them down and get on top of them about their schoolwork. There's never been a Monday morning where they've come in talking about their Saturday night or their weekend habits or their social habits. They're guys that do things the right way. They take care of their bodies pre and post game and do a really good job. And Aiden Wright, as you mentioned, the captain of our team, you know, been a challenging year for Aiden Wright. He's never missed a game until this season. And, you know, I'm not sure exactly what happened, but just didn't come in playing at the same level. And he's kind of converted to forward here with their injuries and issues up front and done a good job at times playing as a forward. And, you know, even in that, it's nice to have him sometimes because he can spot back. We get in penalty trouble. We get an injury. We can pop him back to the back end or maybe to kill a penalty and add some diversity to our lineup that way.
Yeah, I think one thing about Aiden is he'll do just about anything as long as he's playing, and I think he'll be playing this weekend. He's been a great leadership guy for this team. That's why he's the captain of the team. And Renz wears an A, so does Gage Terrell. And this weekend you got Bowling Green State, and then comes the big test. You go on the road, you go out to Bemidji, and Bemidji just beat us pretty badly a couple games just a few weeks ago here in our building. We got to play in their building. They're a red-hot team right now. They're playing really well. Tremendous skating team that Tom Ceratori's built there. And then you go all the way up to Anchorage, Alaska, play against the team that's behind you in the standings. We got to win those games. And then you come home, you take a weekend off, and then go to Ferris State. to finish off the regular season. And boy, last time I can remember going to Ferris State was a few years ago, about 5 years ago. We went in there having to win one game to get into the playoffs that year. We lost 2-1 games. It was just heartbreaking. Guys played their tails off and couldn't get a win there, and we wound up missing the playoffs that season.
Yeah, so it like you said, it's unbelievable that this is it at home, and it's going to be a challenge on the road. You know, we've worked with the school to change our travel a little bit non-traditional in terms of staying out after Bemidji instead of coming home for about 48 hours before having to travel up to Alaska. But you know, Bemidji's going. You know, Michael Bitzer's coming off another Player of the Week. What is he, five shy of the all-time NCAA shutout record now as well. So again, it's another series where you have to be extremely low scoring. You know, you mentioned the pace of their team. They like to kind of wrap some pucks and chip pucks, set up foot races, and they're really built to play that way. So that'll be a challenge. Anchorage, we haven't seen in a long time, but, you know, getting up there, it'll be another Olympic sheet for us, which is coming off Northern. You know, we'll be somewhat acclimated, and we're going to be there up, I believe, on Tuesday this time because of the travel. So we'll have plenty of time to acclimate to things up there and kind of regroup from there, you know, get a couple days off after that long trip, you know, time changes, travel, red-eye flights, all that stuff going on. So we'll come home, give the guys a couple days off, and then regroup and rally for that Ferris weekend. And you know, I hope it comes down to that situation again where that series is to make the playoffs. And I know, I think my first year there, we hadn't won a game at Ferris State in 11 years or something like that. And so, I don't know, first or second year, we were able to go into that arena, which is not an easy place to play. The low roof, the noise, the dog pound, all those things. And, you know, get that off of our back. So we've had a little bit of success against Ferris, more so lately than in the past little while. And, again, I hope those games are very important and we can go in and find a way into the playoffs.
Yeah, it's interesting at this point. The Bulldogs are the team 7 points in front of the Lakers right now. Alaska's within reach as well. And, you know, Alabama, Huntsville a little bit less so. But if the Lakers are going to grab a playoff spot, it's probably going to be eighth. And that would mean we go to Minnesota State most likely. Although, hey, we could go back to Northern Michigan. That'd be kind of interesting.
That would be interesting, you know. And, you know, again, we got to get it. We're not going to sit there and look at matchups and what's going to happen. We've got some help the last week or two in terms of teams around us not gaining points or separating themselves. But we've got to take care of business. You know, we've got to find a way to get that one goal loss into a tie or the 2 points minimum. You know, certainly looking at home this weekend, you know, Friday night is so important. And again, our guys are there. They're fully dialed in. They're fully on board. You noted it in the effort and the play this weekend, Bill. It was a hard-fought series and, you know, really can go either way that entire weekend. So a couple hard-fought games. It won't be any easier against Bowling Green. I think the thing we like, we're back on an NHL sheet. We're back with the home matchup. We'll get to match lines and dictate some things that way in terms of trying to get after McLean and shutting him down. They've had a really good year out of Wright, the freshman, a couple of the young guys. And then Alec Rauheiser, the I think sophomore defenseman, is actually leading their team in scoring. And, you know, he's a guy that's so dangerous from the offensive blue line. And you know what? Quite honestly, that's given us issues. You know, we've given up some long goals, even at Northern Michigan on Saturday night. You know, they score a goal from just inside the blue line, their third goal, I believe, and the game tying goal was higher than the top of the circle. So we've got to be in shot lanes. We've got to get stick on puck and recognize the weapons that are on the ice, like Ballou, like Rauheiser, and do a good job shutting those guys down.
Yeah, that was very tough on Saturday night. A couple of long range goals that Nick Kossoff gave up. I thought he was just outstanding on Friday night. He made huge save after huge save to help keep us in that game. And then on Saturday night, they get a long-range goal out of Loggins and another one from Ballou to win the game. And, you know, it's just a tough loss for Lake Superior State. That's what happens. When you're struggling to score goals, it seems like you give up goals you probably shouldn't, and there's the difference in winning and losing.
Yeah, it is. It's funny you mentioned that. Everything's certainly magnified when that happens, but that's what it feels like. You know, we had, certainly on Friday night, you know, Nick made one huge save late, but, you know, we're the ones with the odd man rushes. Humitz hits a post early on. Instead of going up 2-0, it's still 1-0, but you're generating these high-end quality chances. Diego had one or two little pop-up plays where he was in all alone, and obviously Tolvanen, you know, is a very good goaltender, but you know, you work so hard to create your offense and you can't get one in. We actually got the break on the Braden Gelsinger goal. Tyler Anderson had a great puck to the net and it went off Braden skating in the net, so you finally get one of those bounces and breaks, but you work so hard to create, and then they come down and get, you know, what's a little bit of an easy or a soft goal, and it's demoralizing to the guys. But again, I thought we fought through it. We didn't back down. We pushed and worked through it, and you know, that's kind of the game of hockey. hockey. You know, you have to earn your own breaks, earn your own puck luck. I think we're getting there, and hopefully those turn around a little bit. We start getting the goals from the blue line. We start getting him in off a scramble or a wrap, and, you know, that'll be the difference in these tight games.
You know, I think the lack of effort is not a problem. This past weekend in particular, I was really impressed with how it seemed like everybody really brought the game this past weekend. Every guy was skating hard, playing hard. That's why we were in the game against a very good team on its home ice. Northern Michigan's a good team this year. They're in second place for a reason. They've got some really good players who can score, and we did a good job. We held them down, and you know, that game-winning goal, Kybel falls down on the play, gets back into it. Puck goes in behind the net. They get it to the blue line, and Ballou scores through about, there had to be six guys between Ballou and the net. And Nick couldn't see it, and it just floated into the goal.
Yeah, it was no different than Chatham's winning goal from the weekend before. You know, Kyle Chatham did a good job changing the angle and just a kind of a wrister seeing eye puck. There was four guys in front of the Ferris and Kapelmeister there against Ferris State. And, you know, so it does happen, those seeing eye pucks. And that's why getting offense from the blue line is so important, that your defenseman can get pucks to the net through traffic, because goalies have a hard time tracking it. And so, you know, you see those. But it seems like it happens too much against us. And again, that's guys being in shot lanes. That's D being in a shot layer. You know, we work a lot with our defensemen that, you know, you have an option. When that puck goes low to high, if you know where your coverage is, you're going to turn and box your guy out. If you don't know where he is, you have to get in a shot layer. And we failed to get in a shot layer on that goal. So, you know, we can be better at different layers of that goal against. And we're going to have to be if we're going to win hockey games this weekend.
It's tough, though, when it comes down to making a split-second decision and it can cost a hockey game. I still think the big problem is we don't score on good chances. You know, you can overcome some defensive problems like what we're talking about if you can put four or five goals in the net during a game, and that's really where we're falling now, because we have some tremendous chances. Even Saturday night, I think Max Humitz alone had half a dozen really good scoring chances, came up with one goal.
Yeah, and that is tough, because we have been you know, out-chancing our opponents. You know, it's a part of it. You know, we talk a lot about it takes typically between 6 and 8 grade A scoring chances to generate a goal. And, you know, going back the last couple of weeks, we've been under 10 grade A's against in a handful of games. So, you know, you should be giving up probably one goal, but we're still giving up 3 or 4. And again, that's not just on our goaltending. That's on maybe a defenseman losing an assignment, maybe a forward not getting in a shot lane. So it's not one position group at fault, but we should be better defensively based on what we're giving up. And conversely, you know, when you're out grading a team, you know, you're giving yourself a good chance. Special teams has a big role as well. You know, we've got to get our special teams game cleaned back up. You know, we had the best power play in the country for a few weeks to start the season before some injuries. You know, we've got to get that power play back on track. If we can get that going, I think we're extremely dangerous.
Yeah, I agree. I think there are some wins to be had here in these final 8 games, and I think the boys on the team feel that urgency. You know, one, there were some penalties that really hurt us, too, on the weekend. We took 4 straight penalties on Friday night. The first 4 of the game went against Lake Superior State, and then Northern finally took a penalty, gave the Lakers a power play at about 14 minutes of the second period. That's a long time to go in a game, and JT Henke cashed in. We scored the power play goal on that one and made it a 2-2 tie at the time. In fact, I think that put us in front. But, you know, those are tough things and things you just have to – you don't want to complain about officiating necessarily during games. I think I was particularly incensed by some of the calls this past weekend, offsides a few times I didn't agree with, some offsides that I thought they should have called, they didn't. And then you run into that the one penalty that really irritated me. I don't know if you look back at it or not, but Kyle Chatham's taught to seal a man in the defensive zone. He did a great job of it on one of their better players, and he gets called for holding on that play. I think that was in the third period, maybe the second, on Saturday night. But I just thought it was a terrible call.
When it was late second with like 3 seconds left in the period. Like, it was a totally non-threatening play. It was end of a period, and so just the referees have an awareness of the situation. And I can't remember if it was the second or third goal against, but Tyler Anderson went in from our offensive blue line, faked a shot, did a spinorama. They stuck a leg out, tripped him, no call. They come down and score. And, you know, early in the game, I think Nellis had almost an identical play with Nellis to call it. So the inconsistency is certainly challenging. You mentioned Northern didn't get the call, or, you know, took the first penalty at the 14-minute mark. Well, there was a lot. You know, I think when you're watching it back as a coach, you're pulling your hair out. out because there's probably four penalties that should have easily been called. And Max Humitz got hit from behind. It was a pretty bad hit from behind. But again, it just seems that's been a little bit of what's happened to Lake State this year, and you've got to work your way out of it. You've got to create your own puck luck. You've got to create refs to make calls by driving your feet and having great discipline on the other side of it. You can't put yourself into some of those situations, but you do feel bad. Chatham comes to the bench saying, and you tell Chats, I think Steven Ruggiero, one of his two, I told Steven, like, I'd never have you not make that play. He had a nice hit, shoulder to shoulder. They go down, and, it's the right play, Steven, so you just got to play through it, and typically you kill those off. So, but that's what we're battling through a little bit this way.
Well, I think what happens there, too, is officials are human, and they know Lakers are way down in the standings. They're more likely to be the team to do something to try to get an edge, and so they're looking to call a few more penalties there against a second-place team. So, and they're at home, too, and the fans do affect how people call games, and that's been the case over the years. Damon, we hope we have a great crowd this weekend. We get some people out against Bowling Green. Getting people out has been a difficulty here in the second half of the season thus far. But Bowling Green will be a great series with a lot of other things going on this weekend with all the activities, and including senior night on Saturday. And we're even going to have Peter Mitchell, the president, drive the Zamboni on Friday night after the first period.
I saw that. He better know what he's doing. I hope he's practicing, Dr. Mitchell. If you're listening, I haven't seen you over at Taffy a whole lot, so you got to get some practice hours in. But we love our fans here, and these guys have worked their tails off, and we'll get a win for the fans this weekend, Friday night. Hope to see you, but certainly Saturday. It's again 6:40. The senior ceremonies will start. We'd love to have a full building for our seniors and for our program, and obviously coupled with Check/Survive Cancer, formerly Pink of the Rink. It's going to be a great weekend at Taffy Able, and hope to see everybody out there.
All righty, that takes care of another Laker Hockey Talk on a Thursday morning. Bill Crawford along with Damon Whitten, the head coach of the Lakers. Get out and support the Lakers this weekend. That's another show on ESPN 1400.
You've been listening to Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400, brought to you by H&R Block and Parker Ace Hardware. Join us again soon for another edition of Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400. WKNW, Sault Ste. Marie's sports leader.